From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Kessel, and here's your host, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. The campaign to succeed President Bush began more than 2 years before the 2008 election. And it's amazing how many people wanted that job. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me tried to give everybody their due. We checked in with one of the contenders in April 2007. Paul, of the 2008 presidential candidates have filed their first quarter spending reports with the Federal Election Commission. Among the more interesting bits we found out, Democrat John Edwards spent $400 on two different occasions on a haircut, and Democrat Senator Christopher Dodd spent more than $1,500 on what?
A cab ride.
No. A cab ride? No.
Cab tip.
He has that vote, I think. No, not that. I'll give you a real... This is actually true, that the Dodd campaign really wanted one that dispensed its treats when you were to tip the senator's head back.
A Pez container?
Yes, they spent exactly $1,535 for Pez dispensers and Pez candy. They bought it from the Connecticut-based Pez Candy Company. Apparently, Senator Dodd wanted some custom-made dispensers with his own head, but they had to settle for the traditional donkey Pez dispenser. Dodd says that his ambition is to get elected and then make Pez candy, the official presidential candy, just like Reagan did for jelly beans. But when the New York Times contacted the Pez company's CEO for comment, he said, quote, "Oh, is he really still running?"
Wow.
As an aspiration... You know, and everybody spins a fantasy about what they're going to do with their life. Mm-hmm. But I want a guy who's going to be president to not have thought long and hard about what candy he's bringing into the White House. Maybe I'm negative. You know, maybe I don't think happy enough thoughts. But it seems to me there's a lot of stuff going on right now that might usurp the candy thoughts.
I also don't understand why anyone would want a Pez dispenser that looks like themselves.
Yeah, because it's an alarming posture.
Yeah, just bisect my neck and you'll get candy.
Yeah, just tip my head back in a manner that in real life would tear it off, and you'll get a reward. Yeah. It's not an image I want to dwell on.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
See, this is the best idea I've ever heard from a presidential candidate. This is the only one I've ever heard that I could actually latch onto. And
that's enough of a platform for
this
you?
This is plenty. Pez. I love it.
You all Texans.
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah. Last election cycle, she voted for the licorice whips guy.
A few weeks later, in May of 2007, we paid due to another candidate's refreshing honesty.
Paula, this week the AP went through a quadrennial ritual, and they asked a series of silly personal questions to all the presidential candidates, such as, what is your dream job? Surprisingly and somewhat refreshingly, Republican Tom Tancredo said his dream job would be to be what?
Oh, not the commander guy.
No. Well, actually.
President?
Yes. He's running for president. They said, what would your dream job be? He said, well, president. So you want to compare his refreshing honesty here to, say, John Edwards, a multimillionaire who says that his dream job would be, quote, mill supervisor. John, you don't want to know how many hours you would have to work in that mill just to pay for one haircut.
Yeah. Oh, but the prestige.
I know. I mean, really, he says, well, my dream job would be, you know, other guys were saying, well, I'd like to be a teacher, an astronaut, baseball player. He's like a mill supervisor. And we're like, what's stopping you? I believe there are openings. Yes. Anyway, back to Tancredo. We thought Tancredo was really cool, but he really won over our hearts.
Yes.
With his answer to the next question, what would you want to bring with you to a desert island? Other candidates said their wives or the Bible. Tancredo said, a boat.
Okay, he's my commander
guy. I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, elect him.
Yeah.
Most people don't remember this, but Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson also ran for president. Not for long, though.
Adam, former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson is running for the Republican presidential nomination. This week, as part of his ethnic outreach program, he praised a Jewish audience for their great cultural tradition, which, in his view, is what?
Easter egg hunts.
No.
Sandwich making. I'm going to need a hint. I don't think I was invited to that particular
No, event. It's all about the shekels.
Oh, I did hear about this. This is their tradition of making money.
Exactly right. So he's speaking to the Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism in Washington, D.C., and former Governor Thompson says, quote, "I'm in the private sector, and for the first time in my life, I'm earning money. You know, that's sort of part of the Jewish tradition, and I do not find anything wrong with that," unquote. Actually, what he really did was he apologized profusely. He said he was just trying to be complimentary. But his hometown paper, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, declared his presidential campaign now over. In other words, using the standard measure of failed presidential campaigns, Governor Thompson lasted 2.5 Bidens. It seems strange to think about this now, but up until the end of 2007, Hillary Clinton was considered a lock to win the Democratic nomination. She showed early signs, though, of shaky decision-making, as we discussed in June of 2007.
"You and I were meant to fly higher than the clouds. We'll sail across the sky. So come with me, and you will feel that we're soaring, that we're floating up so high, 'cause you and I were meant to fly."
That was the song "You and I" by Celine Dion. This week it was named the official campaign song of whom?
That was Hillary Clinton.
Yes, indeed.
She might have lost my vote.
Yeah, well, there's a problem. I got to tell you, they say you can see how a person will handle the big decisions by how they handle the small ones. We're all now worried for our nation. After much hoopla, Hillary Clinton announced the winner of the contest to choose her official campaign song. Let it be a credit to the sense of humor of the American populace that they selected to represent the aspirations of Mrs. Clinton, a song sung by a French-Canadian, originally written for a TV commercial for a Canadian airline. That's right. It's a jingle. The song narrowly beat out the runners-up, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. And in a disputed call, it beat out the sound of the Aflac duck quacking.
Bill had that Fleetwood Mac song when he ran first time, remember?
Yes.
"Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow."
Which even, I believe, a member of Fleetwood Mac said, please don't use it anymore, it's cheesy.
Hillary has the Celine Dion. Their daughter is named after a lyric in a Joni Mitchell song. Right. Has there ever been a couple in the history of the world that needs Otis Redding more than these two?
I spent probably 70 to 80 hours this week just researching this issue. I'm not even kidding. I was on Celine Dion blogs, which is a frightening place to be. And I called Clinton's office in Virginia, and I asked if I could talk to the youngest person there. And they gave me someone in the PR department, and I asked them, like, how do you feel about the fact you're going to hear Celine Dion 30 times a day for the next year and a half? And they just started sobbing quietly. Really? They just sobbed, no comment.
A number of the presidential candidates stopped by our show as they campaigned around the country. Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, John Edwards, sent his wife, Elizabeth Edwards.
We particularly enjoyed our visit with Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas, who joined us in September 2007.
What a pleasure to have you. I gotta ask, it's crazy, what makes you think a kid from Hope, Arkansas, and then the governor of a small, obscure state like Arkansas could ever be president?
You know, it's been tried before.
Yeah.
Some people aren't sure that it turned out so well, so we're going to give it one more try.
There you go. Now, it is true. You actually, like President Clinton, are from Hope, are you not?
We both are, right. He left there when he was about 6 years old, and frankly, I think he'd have turned out better if he'd stayed there longer.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember.
But he's a good guy. We actually get along fairly well and have a very cordial relationship.
Governor Huckabee, one of the things you're known for, frankly, is losing an awful lot of weight, which you did while in office, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
What was the final figure? How much weight did you lose?
110 pounds.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's an entire person.
I was about to say, that's like your own junior, your own lieutenant governor you lost. Has it changed your life going from a large person to a less large person?
Yeah, when I get on an airplane, people don't go, oh, my gosh, he doesn't sit by me. You know, there are so many changes. I mean, I have more energy and more stamina. I feel better. I can buy clothes without having to shop at the tent and awning store. There's just a whole lot of advantages to it. But the greatest advantage is that I'm going to outlive a lot of my political enemies now and just drive them nuts.
One of your last acts as governor of Arkansas, very controversial. As you were on the way out the door, you issued a controversial pardon. You pardoned Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. He had committed.
Yeah, I did. How cool is that?
Yeah. All right. So you're proud of it. Fine.
Yeah, I was in college in 1975. He and Ronnie Wood drove through the state because they wanted to sort of trace the history of blues music in the Arkansas and Mississippi Delta. Well, their manager told them not to do it. A couple of long-haired British guys in a rented car in southern Arkansas wasn't a good idea. But they insisted, and so they were driving through the little town of Fordyce, Arkansas, and got pulled over by a deputy sheriff who said Keith was weaving on the road. And fortunately, the only thing they got him for was reckless driving. But they kept him in the Dallas County Jail all day long, and there were like 1,000 people out on the courthouse steps that afternoon. And I can remember thinking, oh, my gosh, we finally have the Rolling Stones to Arkansas. And what do? We bust their rear ends and put them in jail all day. So they come to Little Rock for a concert a year ago, and their keyboard player, Chuck Lavelle, is a friend of mine. And we got to talking, and he invited me to come backstage and meet the band, which I did. And Keith was telling me, you know, that he'd been there before and goes through this whole thing. And I said, well, Keith, you know, I can do something nobody else on earth can do. I can actually issue you a pardon. I can clear your record up in Arkansas. And he said, oh, man, could you really do that, mate? That would be just awesome, mate. And so at least that's what I think he said. You know, with Keith, you never really know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Governor Mike Huckabee, we are delighted to have you with us today. In fact, we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Hey, is that a utopian turtle top you're driving? Sweet.
The utopian turtle top was just one of the names considered for what was going to be the biggest new car of 1957, the new Ford that would turn the auto industry on its ear. It was eventually marketed, of course, as the Edsel. And exactly 50 years later, that name is, of course, now a byword for a flop. We used a nifty article in the Washington Post this week that came out to mark the 50th anniversary of the car's introduction. We're going to ask you 3 questions about the Edsel. Answer 2, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Governor Mike Huckabee playing for?
Peter, the governor is playing for Sally Powell of Toronto, Canada.
Well, she can't even vote for me, man.
No.
Governor, I told you they were Democrats.
First question. As we said, after considering thousands of different names, Ford executives just decided to name the car after Edsel Ford, the late son of the company's founder. Pretty quickly, the name became a joke among car buyers. Some said it was really named Edsel because why? A, because when the Ford dealers first saw the car, they said, oh, that's a hard sell. Okay. Hard sell. Mm-hmm. B, it's an acronym standing for every day something else leaks. Or C, because the original Edsel Ford, who had a gimpy leg, quote, didn't run either.
I think I will go with B.
You're going to go with B, the acronym?
Yes.
Every day something else leaks?
Yes.
You're right. That's the answer. That was the joke of the time. Apparently, among the many, many problems with the car was very poor reliability. Did you know that or did you guess?
I just figured that by the process of elimination, that had to be the right answer.
Right, okay.
Because Ford used to stand for Fix or Repair Daily.
Right. Right. You can't be saying that stuff about the American automotive industry and want to get elected. Just hit for
me.
I'm
just repeating what others have said. That's all I'm doing here. Right.
If the remaining 6 workers will vote against
exactly. All right, let's see how well you do with this one. The styling came in for criticism, too. The designers wanted to make the grill vertical to make it look cool, but to make it work as a grill, it had to be really, really big. Thus, Time magazine referred to the car as looking like what? A, quote, an Oldsmobile sucking a lemon. B, quote, a spaceship as imagined by a dull 11-year-old. Or C, quote, as if it were designed not to outperform other cars, but to ram them.
Let's go with C.
You're going to go with C, as it was designed not to outperform other cars, but to ram them. No, Time magazine said it was looked like an Oldsmobile sucking a lemon.
Oh.
Now, to see what they mean, you have to make a face like you just ate something really sour, like you suck in your teeth. Mm. And now do that and look in the mirror. That's an Edsel. Last question. If you get this one right, you'll win. So everything's very exciting. Isn't it, though? Once the car was finally in stores, after more than a year of hyped-up media frenzy, people came to look at it, but few people actually bought one. Desperate, Ford came up with a ploy to increase sales. Was it A, they announced that everybody who test drove an Edsel would be entered into a raffle to win a real pony?
No.
B, they paid famed bank robber Willie Sutton to endorse the Edsel as the perfect getaway car. Or C, they offered a custom kit, which really was just a fake front end you could bolt on the real one to hide the fact that it was an Edsel.
You know, none of those really sound good, Peter.
No.
But let's go with A.
You're right. They promised to give away ponies. The problem was that none of the winners wanted a pony. Instead, they took a cash prize, meaning that pretty soon, in addition to a bunch of Edsels, Ford dealers also had to deal with a lot of unwanted ponies. Carl, how did Governor Mike Huckabee do in our quiz?
The governor had two correct answers, Peter, so he wins our prize for Sally Powell. I'll be doing the message on her home answering machine. Congratulations, Governor.
Governor Huckabee, before we let you go, we want to try something. We've had presidential candidates on, and, well, frankly, they've tended to gas on a bit about their platforms and their qualifications, and we don't have the attention span for that. So with you, we're going to try something a little different. We're calling it Wait, Wait, Don't Bore Me. We want to give you a chance to make your case to the American people as to why you should be their next president, but we're only going to give you 30 seconds to do it. Why America should vote for Mike Huckabee, go.
Because what other presidential candidate has pardoned Keith Richards? What other presidential candidate has his own rock and roll band called Capital Offense? What other presidential candidate would talk about pardoning Keith Richards and having his own rock and roll band as a reason to be president? What other candidate would actually pick a pony in order to be a prize winner for a Canadian citizen who can't even vote for him in the presidential campaign? And what other presidential candidate would humiliate himself by answering such a question?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what's that I hear? Yes, it's the strains of Hail to the Chief, sir.
Yes, he
ate. That was done well.
He ate the Wait, Wait primary.
You got my vote, man.
Coming up, the winner, how Barack Obama launched his quest for the presidency on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. Kauffman, the Foundation of Entrepreneurship, committed to expanding human welfare through economic growth, on the web at kauffman.org. And the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting efforts to find and fight the causes of homelessness, on the web at melvilletrust.org. We'll be back with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR, National Public Radio.